Blog Talk Radio. Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, co-hosting for Dr. Debbie Green. Dr. Debbie Green had a medical emergency she had to take care of this morning, and we are certainly pleased that she continues to affect the lives of people and helping them heal from emotional traumas. Today, we want to especially talk to parents because so many things actually begin in childhood. And if you are a parent, you may not have been given the understanding that you should listen to your child and talk to your child and be involved in your child's life. You may not know that because this may not have been what you received. And if you were blessed to have the kinds of parents who listened to you when you had a thought, who comforted you when you cried, who spent time with you, and you have memories of that feeling of safety and security, of parents who took an active part in your life, then you probably have a level of emotional stability that many people do not have. Who did not have that experience. Now, it doesn't mean that your parents weren't physically there. Some parents are with their children in the household every single day. And yet, they're not emotionally available. What does that mean? Emotional support is critical to the emotional well-being of a child. Being involved with them means taking an interest in them, listening to them, seeing them as a whole human being with feelings and thoughts that matter, paying attention to them, not just giving them some toy to play with, go away, get away from me, or sticking them in front of the television set while you go and live your life. Being emotionally available means that when they cry, you don't just tell them to shut up. You listen. We're going to talk about that today with people who have experienced parenthood and understood the importance of emotional availability. And this is so critical, particularly for men who have children, because men have been taught that fathering is simply going to work, coming home, getting that paycheck over to pay the bills, and your job is done. This brand of fathering actually evolved in the industrial age, when instead of the agrarian kind of economy where the family worked on the family's farm and the family engaged each other and the family sat down to dinner and meals and the family was involved, having a society that was factory based or service industry based, and you had men who left the house in the mornings, came home in the evenings, ate dinner, and in these modern times, watched TV, went to bed, didn't engage with their children at all. Many children can say, yeah, my father was there, but he really wasn't there. He didn't talk to us. We didn't really know him, and he didn't really know us. Oh, he came in to be the disciplinarian. Your mother said you did what? Oh, let me get out my belt and start whipping you. And there's so many fathers who think that's fathering, because that may have been what they received because of this economy that was no longer family-based, family business-based, family farm-based. It was based in someone leaving the house to earn money to come back to the house, but not really be a part of the household. Well, it said when you know better, you do better. You have to be involved in your children's lives. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk to you who have joined us today. And we want you to share your experience with your parents. Did you all talk to them? If you're on a switchboard now, press 1 to share your thoughts. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we will gladly share your thoughts. We're talking about, are you emotionally available for your children? We'll be right back after this quick break, and we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, hosts John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
And if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy it. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
Female Solutions Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our host, Dr. Debbie Green. And she, sometimes this happens, has to step away for a medical emergency, but we are certainly pleased to have you, because today's topic is critical to our changing the way we raise our children. We're often being told that the problem with these children is that they don't get enough spankings. I've got so many friends and associates. They believe that this is the reason why our children are acting out, the reason why they're destructive, the reason why they're violent. They didn't get enough spankings. That is a strong belief coming from a generation of people who were largely emotionally and physically abused. And when abuse is the norm, you don't recognize it as abuse. Engaging your children in conversation is what helps them to become emotionally healthy. How many of us, when we were growing up, heard the idea children should be seen and not heard, meaning keep your mouth shut? How many of us were told shut up when we tried to express a thought? How many of us were shushed when we were crying and told stop that crying? How many of us actually were punished for crying and made fun of, maybe even called names, cry baby? How many of us were shamed into not sharing our emotions? The way we were raised in so many ways comes from dysfunctional behavior and beliefs of parents and grandparents and even great-grandparents who believed that there was something weak about showing emotions. And so now we have this hostile culture towards children, and this is what has produced the explosion of anger. Not to mention a bunch of other things. We set them down in front of a television set and let them watch what we consider entertainment, the most violent, the most
egregious kinds of activities between human beings, and we let them do this at the earliest of ages, not understanding what's going into their subconscious mind. There's that. And then we, for the sake of our own convenience, leave them for long periods of time. Sometimes, you know, we have to work. And so we don't have a support system of family members that engage them in a way that feels like love. We institutionalize them very early with daycare. And there's nothing wrong with learning. But there is a period of time when a child really needs that nurturing, loving, caring mother. And when we have to go back to work at 6 months after pregnancy, that is abnormal. And we have to herb and wean a child so that we can get back to work. The process even of breastfeeding is part of the emotional nurturing that needs to happen for a certain number of years. So if we have to take them to a center where someone is caring for perhaps multiple infants or children, they're not going to get that kind of one-on-one care and attention. And when they cry, they learn very quickly that crying isn't looked upon favorably. And they don't get the positive attention that they're seeking when they cry. They don't get the comfort that they're seeking when they cry. They get treated with the impatience of an adult that needs them to just stop crying. Stop crying. So our children learn early that they are not going to be listened to when they're in pain, whether it be emotional or physical. And that makes them feel like their lives are of no value. So we've made that error. And then, to top it off, after we have supply them with inappropriate forms of entertainment in the form of violent movies, violent behavior, insensitive responses to their emotional distress. They have bottled up anger and resentment. And then we supply them with weapons of war because somebody wants to make money in the weapons industry. And other people who have supplied themselves with all kinds of fear-based information, whether it's watching the news, which gives them a steady report, a steady death report, and so they're feeling unsafe, so they're afraid to support the idea of removing these weapons of war from our civilian society. And so our children, who are not emotionally mature and have not been emotionally supported and have not been able to adequately express their frustration, are given access to weapons of war. And so conflicts which in the past for children might have simply resulted in maybe a fist fight after school, now someone has a gun, and they go and shoot that person that they feel has disrespected or humiliated them in some way. And this is what we're experiencing. All of this is a wake-up call for us to learn better parenting skills, not engaging in more beatings, because that's the dysfunctional way our parents reacted, because they didn't have the knowledge on how to be emotionally available for their children. They didn't know. And now that our children are armed and dangerous because of a weapons industry that wants to profit from their emotional pain, and people who will proliferate weapons of war among a civilian population without conscience, have created the environment where our children are now viewed with fear. And when they are extremely emotional, rather than us listen to them, we still repress them and often will punish them because we don't know better until today. But we want you to think about your experience as a child. And how did your parents respond to you when you cried? At what age did they stop comforting you and start reprimanding you? We want you to think about that, because that has shaped how you are now parenting your child. Unless you learn from that experience that this is not how one wants to be treated when one is in distress. But if you didn't, and your child has maybe reached the age of 5 and 6 and 7, and you reprimand them with words like, "You're too old to be crying like that," then you're repeating the same mistakes as those who came before our generation. So how do we become emotionally available? And we invite you, if you're on our switchboard now, to press 1 and share a memory that you have in either experience, a time when you were perhaps sad, distressed, depressed, grieving, and you had an adult who listened, who comforted you, who made you feel that you could show your emotions without being ridiculed. And we'd also like you to share those stories of when you were in a state of emotional distress and you expressed your emotions and you were punished. How did you feel? We tend to put forth the idea that our emotions should not upset other people. People don't feel comfortable if we're crying. So we learn to not show emotions so that we don't make other people feel uncomfortable. Now, if you're 2 years old, and you are extremely upset, people will say you're having a temper tantrum. And a temper tantrum is basically frustration that is unexpressed. So you're unexpressed, your unaddressed frustration gets expressed in the form of screaming, kicking. It's frustration. And as a child, you may not have the words to express your thoughts.
But it really is a cry for help. Now, the way we have been taught to think is that a child is being disobedient if they're having a tantrum. And people will say things like, oh, they're so spoiled, meaning they haven't been whipped into submission properly and are therefore acting out of their own free will. This is the thought that goes into that response to a crying child. They're spoiled. And because we respond to our children as if they're being defiant of us when they are expressing their frustration, people will watch someone in a grocery store, watch a mother with a frustrated child having a tantrum. And what do the parents say? What do the other adults say? Oh, that child needs a good beating. Not why is that child frustrated and angry? Why is that child feeling unheard? But that child is being disobedient and they need a good beating. This is how we respond to our children when they express frustration because they don't have the words to say what they want or say how they feel. They feel powerless because no one is responding to them or understanding them. And so they have a tantrum. They have a temper tantrum. And this can be very frustrating for parents. But if no one gives the parents an understanding of how to respond to frustration lovingly, then they may very well succumb to the peer pressure that says that child needs a good beating. And they may very well choose to engage in physical assault of a child who is frustrated. So for those who are watching us on Facebook and YouTube, we apologize for the brief moment of the screen going out. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We've got some people on the switchboard. We're going to take a brief pause, and we'll be right back. I'm going to take you in this order, 773-996, 773-737, and 213-880, and then we're going to come to you first, right after the break. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment, and we want you to stay with us. Our question today is, are you emotionally available for your children? We'll be right back after this message, so stay with us.
I'm Naima Latif, and if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services, whatever you're selling, they need to buy it. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green, who had a medical emergency. And today we are talking about, are you emotionally available for your children? Let's go to our phone line. Again, we're going to take you in this order, 213-880, your mic is open, and 773-966 coming to you next, and 773-737. Hang on, we're coming to you right after that. And if you're on our switchboard and have a thought you'd like to share, press 1, that lights your number up, lets us know you've got a thought you'd like to share, or a question you'd like to ask. 213-880, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment.
Okay, peace and love, family. First of all, my name is Eric. I'm calling in from Chicago.
Hey, Eric from Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I just want to speak on some of the points you made earlier about things you experience as a child and things you do different as a parent and the reasons why. I have to give you first a backstory. My mother raised me. She had five children, single mother, and I feel during my childhood I was not heard a lot. It was a lot of matter of fact type raising where you do what I say. We don't really get many opinions or feelings, and we were not allowed to really show emotion, especially sadness and anger and things like that. So I suppressed a lot of that those feelings, and I also had a lot of resentment because I felt that I was not heard, and I felt I was actually abused because, like I say, She was a very physical disciplinarian. Everything we did required a physical correction. And a lot of times I felt it was unnecessary and it was excessive. And so I did have a lot of resentment towards her. But it wasn't until I had children, which I don't, I have yet to, I have four children. My oldest is 14. I have never whooped any of my children. But I understand her position once I became a parent, that she was just a young single mother and she was figuring things out on her own. And she also has five different personalities, and she was dealing with them the only way she knew how, was the way she was raised, which goes back to how, like you say, it's a cycle based on grandparents, and it's just an ongoing cycle. So, you know, we all say when we when I grow up, I'm not going to whoop my kids. So when I grow up, like, we say things that we're going to do different, but I vowed to never be that type of parent. And so as a parent, I am extreme. I'm more available, emotionally available than anything for my children. Like, my children, I'm not in-house, but when I was, it was my, that's my favorite thing to do. I tell people all the time, my favorite thing to do is spend, be with my kids. I can literally be with my kids and spend time with my kids all day, and I would love it. Like, I would have no complaints. Like, so, but I said that to say, I make sure that I allow my kids to speak when they have a feeling. I ask them how they feel about certain things. I ask how to, you know, I give them that opportunity, because I understand that it's vital, like you say, in the development of a child's emotional intelligence, and also just being able and confident in moving it through life. And so, and I go through backlash with my child's mother, because she's kind of exactly like my mother was. She yells at them all the time. They say they're crying. She tells them to shut up. And I even go back to an instance to where my daughter, she was playing. She had a cardboard box. Mind you, my daughter made about four at the time. She had a cardboard box, and she was like, she was drawing on it with markers, and she made it. She was, it was a house to her. It was a mansion with a pool and everything to her. This is what it was to her, because this is her imagination. And so her younger brother, being a younger brother, he destroyed the box, and she was crying about it. And her mother was like, girl, you better shut up crying about that box. And I told her, I'm like, well, that's just not a box. To her, that was just a mansion and a pool, and, you know, it was everything to her. So, like, so my kids, they understand that daddy understands them, like, and I really, truly care, and I try to be there for them, and I give them. So my kids, I talk to them all hours at a time, every day. Like, I sit on the phone with them, I'm talking for hours, and they love to come to me for everything because I'm emotionally there for them. And so I that's because of my upbringing. What I didn't have, I wanted to be the parent. I wanted to be what I didn't have as a child, if that makes any sense. So I just wanted to give that.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Eric. You have educated so many people today. And we've got a comment from our Facebook viewer, Zelda from HLN TV show. Our Monday morning mindfulness host says, grand rising, gorgeous, clean sister. Oh, thank you so much, Zelda. You're so wonderful. I'm just trying to be like you. And she says, wow, what a story. Grown men realities. Thanks for sharing your experience. Yes, and Eric, a lot of people don't get it. Well, I tell you, I like you realized when you got older that your mother, a single mother, stressed out, handled it the only way she could. I have so many friends who were young single mothers, and they felt that because the father was absent, they had to be tough like a father would be in their mind. You know, the father's a disciplinarian and hits the child. So they were excessive with the beatings, excessive. You know, stop that crying, shut up, sit down, you know, all that. And I watched that. And I know it comes from the frustration of her believing that she has to control this little person in order to be a good mother. She got to discipline him, and she doesn't have the father there to back her up as an authoritarian, so she's got to be harsh and non-nurturing, because mothers are supposed to be the one that hug you when you cry. But instead, the single mother thinks she's supposed to tell you, stop that crying. Shut up. Sit down. Yeah. All those things they believe will make you strong. They don't know any better. So now, when you were a child, and we're going to get to the next caller, so hang on. But I want to know, when you were a child and you were discipline, well, I won't even say discipline, because discipline is training to act in accordance with rules. That's what discipline is. beating, which people don't like me using that term, but when you're beating your child, you're not disciplining them. You're punishing them for having feelings.
I agree.
When you're beating them because they're showing emotion, you're telling them, I don't care how you feel. So it's not helpful. Now, our children learn to fear the pain of the beating, so they learn to suppress their emotions, but that's not helping them become healthy.
Exactly.
So how did you, well, first of all, let me ask you, at what age did you come to understand that your mother was acting out of her lack of knowledge and frustration?
This was maybe 2014, like a year before, like a few months before she passed, actually, I was glad that I finally was able to understand at least her position. While I didn't completely agree with it, I understood, and so I had to finally call her, and I thanked her for all the lessons that she did give us, because she gave us a lot, most of what I keep with me today. She gave us a lot of lessons on morals and values and how to conduct ourselves civilly, with some sense, pretty much. Like, so she gave us a lot of those tools that most kids nowadays they lack, but it was hard. But when I called her, she said, "You don't know how long I've been waiting for you to say that, because out of all her kids, like I said, she had five kids. I was the only one who, when she told us, when you turn 18, you can leave, I literally moved out on my 18th birthday and never returned to her home. My big brother, he ended up leaving, coming back for a period, my sister, but I was the only one because I just did not want to be in that atmosphere. But it wasn't until I had my own kids not to see, like, oh, this is kind of stressful. But I didn't handle it that way she did, but I understood, like, okay. And so I'm glad that I was able to mend that relationship and finally dropped that resentment that I had for years for the last few months of her life. And so now I vow to, like I say, my kids are my most prized possession, and I'll make sure that they never feel the feelings that I felt. And I want to make sure they always know that they can come to me. They always have someone who cares, who listens, who feels them, who understands them, who hears them, you know. So yeah, I was maybe 27 or something like that when I finally realized, like, okay, I understood that part. While I would have done it different, I understand. And so I just vowed to do it differently, which is what I've been doing so far.
Wow. You have educated people today. And Zelda says, "Wow, Brother Eric, thanks for being the dad I never had. Nominating you for Father of the Year forever. Love your dedication." Ooh, that was a comment from Zelda, our Monday morning mindfulness host. And, you know, you really have, you've touched my heart, because there are many men who are holding resentment. And
yes,
it plays out in anger toward women.
Yes, ma'am.
Meanness, even violence. And it stems from, and sisters, I'm not picking on us, but I understand what happened. Just like Eric said, he understood. And we know we give the lessons. We want our children to be, you know, civil. We want them to have manners. We want them to do the right things. So they don't end up in jail. We know, we want all that. And sometimes we don't have that helpful, supportive partner to be that strong male voice. And so we feel like we've got to be harsh. We don't know how to guide them without beating, because that's how we were raised. So, Eric, you've been wonderful in being able to even show how to forgive.
Yes, ma'am.
Ignorance, knowing that she meant well, she just didn't know how to have five children, you know, by yourself. How do you make sure that everybody's doing the right thing?
Exactly,
so
and that's her love is something I never doubt. I know she loves us to death, and I understand that now completely.
Yes. So it is important, if you've had the kind of parent, and most of us have, that was physically violent, you're carrying the anger inside of you. Even though you say, "Oh, no, I understand," but you really, trust me, look at your relationships, look at your personal relationship, people. Look at your personal relationship. How are you handling anger with the person that you love today? Trust me, that anger and being whipped as a child is still in you. In our book, The Female Solution, in the opening chapter, we recount this scene of a little child being whipped and how angry they felt and how they had to swallow and bury the anger because you can't hit your parents back. But it does explode later in life in other ways. And so it is time for us to learn how to be nurturing. And, Eric, what you've demonstrated is how you learn from the example of what not to do so that
exactly.
you can do the opposite. And really, if you see it from the bigger picture, that is the reason for that lesson. Everything in life is a lesson. And
yes, ma'am.
This Earth School is a place of contrast. So we're here to learn how to love. And sometimes the strongest lesson is the demonstration of non-love
uh-huh.
in terms of the physical or emotional or verbal abuse. If it doesn't feel good, it's not love. But we can grow in understanding that the person who did these things, that was the only way they knew how to keep us safe or to guide us on the right principles of living or to keep
uh-huh.
us from doing something that could cause us to get harmed by other authorities, legal authorities, the police and all of that, the people who can shoot you to death, you know, and have done so. So we need to do a lot of forgiveness work for those single mothers that did the best they knew how.
Agree.
Because that's
Please.
All they had.
And I wish I had my mother back. I wish I would have realized that years before. So I value the little time that we did have left. And it felt like the love I always wanted, like, as coming up, because I guess I finally was able to let it go and understand. So it was no more judgment towards her. And so it was almost organic, like, the love that we had in the last few months of her life. Well, she died suddenly. Also, I must say that we didn't know it was a sudden death, too. So it was just something in that God put in me and put it in us to fix that because he knew time was running out, I guess.
A beautiful story, Eric. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And I believe you're a first-time caller. Thank you so much for
yes,
calling today. And please, you know, feel free to join us at any time. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Got a beautiful team of hosts and wonderful topics. And we just love to hear from our listeners. So much, Eric, for sharing your story.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so very much. And,
no problem.
You've taught a lot of people today, and that is crucial. Thank you. Well, let's go to our next caller and area code 773. Okay, we've got some more on the line, so now I want everybody to hold on. We're going to go to 773-996 and then 773-737. And then 773-530 and then 312-833. So hold on, we're going to get you. Some of you might not get to until after the break, but hold on. I'm going to get your thoughts. 773-966, your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Hello, this is Cookie James calling from the planet Earth. How y'all
yes,
doing?
Yes, sir. Thank you for stopping down on Earth today. And you're in your
yeah, I try to come back and visit, you know, the planet every now and then.
Every now and then, yes.
Yeah. Kind of funny. My middle name is Eric.
Yes.
No,
yes.
Say that,
so that was quite an insight that our dear brother Eric gave us. You know, a lot of men don't get nurturing because the belief is that boys don't need affection, they don't need comfort if they're crying. Matter of fact, you tell them to shut up if they cry. And fathers are kind of made to feel that they're the ones who have to enforce the physical discipline and whipping the child. And so that's kind of the way we've been taught to think. What was your experience growing up, and how did you do things differently in raising your children?
Well, my parents whipped me one time. My father took me, hung me, held me by my feet over a whale.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Okay, so that was, you know, he was, you know, from the plantation, so he knew how to you know, you whoop one time, that's it. You know, on a plantation, you whoop a slave one time, that was it. You know, you put the fear of God in their life. So, but I was a good child growing up, you know, because I realized that, you know, I had two parents, and I realized, you like mothers, you know, sometimes they have an issue with a child, and if they say, don't let me tell your father about this, that was a straighten up. That was a straighten up conversation. And I knew right then and there that the father was the post on the fence. You ever see a fence? It has a post that's dug down deep, and then you have the gate, and then you have another post, and you have a gate, and you have a post. The father is like the post of the family. You know?
Yeah.
If I have to go to him, you're going to change your direction. You know, you're going to get some stern wisdom. And I would say what Eric went through, a lot of times we spend years, we wait 20 or 30 years and go, you know what? Thank you for teaching me that lesson when I was a child. And I said, why did it take a person so long to do that with my children? I tell them, I'm teaching you now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching you something where you ain't got to come back 30 years later and thank me. I'm teaching, I'm guiding you because you're my seed. You're my seed.
Mm-hmm.
You see, not as a child and whatever, but you're my seed. You're from me. You're an extension. I'm teaching you what I know, and then I'll tell them so you can one day begin to teach me and teach others.
Mm.
This is very important. It's very important when you do things with a child, you just sit down and explain why you're doing this, why you're saying this to the child. Don't just say, shut up, sit down. You need to get with that child, you know, and you say, look, I see you being a little extra active. You talk to me. What's going on? Because obviously that child's going through something.
Yeah.
You know, parents need to be counselors, not just dictators or security guards.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We're security guards. When we need to be counselors. Bring that child in. And let that child talk. That child's going through something. All the energy is trying to express itself. And you beat the child up with, y'all just too busy. Y'all need to shut up in there. Y'all too loud.
How often have we heard parents do that? You know, children are just having fun and playing, and they're even repressed from doing that. And we think that you're supposed to just sit down and be quiet all day? That's ridiculous. So, now, Koopy, let me ask you this question before I take the next caller. You described a horrific way of punishment, like you say, one of the most old-time slave beatings. You said they held you over a well and whipped you. Now, first of all, was that your mother or your father did it, or did they do that together?
That was my father. That was my father. Yeah.
Okay, so... what made you decide to, I'm taking it, you did not do that to your own children. What made you decide to not use that form of control and induction of fear in them as a means of controlling them? What made you decide to not do that to them?
Well, when you whipped me, I ran away the next day. I packed my bags up. I got some, I got my books. I had a little doll, little mannequin. I got a little paper bag, two pair of bags, and I was walking down the street.
Wow, how old were you?
I knew I was about 8 years old. And I
wow.
got to the corner, and they said, boy, bring your butt back here. When he whipped me, at that time, I was like, I'm out of here. Because he whipped me because my brother hit me, and I hit him back, but it knocked him out.
Oh.
And I, you know what I'm saying? So I felt like it was an unjust crime, but, yeah, I ran away. And so we have this notion that the children should get up out the house at 18.
Mm-hmm.
You should never tell your child that. That's extra stress.
Yeah, where are you gonna go? What if you don't have a job? Oh, you have to get out. And I've seen that too. You know,
why don't you help your child save some money at 12, 13, 14 years old, so when they do get that age, they'll have $5,000-$10,000 set for them, so they do go out and be secure. So when he with me that time, I was gone. And so when you beat your children, or when you beat your children and lash out at the children the wrong way, believe me, they're creating a getaway plan.
Wow. Yep, that's it. Well, thank you so much. We got to take a break. Thank you so much for sharing your story. That was an education for folks as well. I'm telling you, people, a lot of these runaways are escaping abuse for real. So think about it. We'll be right back after this break. We want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be right back after this message to hear more of your insights and area code 773-737. We come to you next, so hold on. And right after that, we got 773-530 and 312-833. And if you're on our switchboard and got a comment, press 1, and that will line you up to be next after that. And if you're watching on the Female Solution Facebook or YouTube channel, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we've got a comment from Beata. Our Friday host is Grand Rising Queen. Oh, Grand Rising to you, Queen. Love you so much. Enjoying the conversation, she says. Yes, feel free to call in and give us your thoughts if you'd like to share some of your parenting experiences as well as childhood experiences. We'll be right back after this brief break, so stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out, and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naeem Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green today as she handles a medical emergency. But we are talking about, are you emotionally available for your children? Some parents are baffled when their children begin to engage in destructive behavior or are receiving complaints of misbehavior at school. And parents often say, but I gave them everything. But did you really give them the most important thing, your time and attention? Did you listen with compassion and not judgment when they express their feelings? Or did you shush them and refuse to hear? How many fathers were taught that their only role was to provide financial support? Well, Dad, do you know the name of your child's best friend? Do you know who their favorite teacher is? Do you know what their favorite food is? What's important to our children should be important for us to listen to. So the way we were raised is not the measure we should use, because we don't want to be made to feel how we don't want our children to feel the way we were made to feel. And we were made to feel pretty bad. Even though we obeyed out of fear, we really needed to learn how to behave through love. And that is a technique that we, today's parents, need to learn. Well, let's take our next caller, one of my favorite teachers, 773-737, your mic is open. I believe this is our great and wonderful Mama D. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, global transformers. You know flattery would get you everywhere. You stop it. I don't think mothers, especially single mothers, are emotionally available because they're busy and they just don't have the time, especially during those first 4 years of life, because they have to work, they have to dress the child, they have to feed the child, they have to clean up the dishes, they have to catch the bus, they have to drive the car, they are just too busy. And as a Montessori educator, I had 18 two-year-olds in my and one assistant in my classroom. So when a child came in out of sorts, we had a baby Dadisi doll. This was a great big, I guess, 18-month-old size doll that was very cuddly.
Oh, yeah.
And I would tell them, baby Dadisi needs some love. So they would go over into the rocking chair and they'd get that great big cloth doll and they'd start hugging on baby Dadisi. And
wow.
They just needed that hug. They just needed that emotional support. And I knew I couldn't give it to them. But if they would give it to baby Dadisi, they were all right.
Oh, And Mama D, for those who aren't familiar with the Betty Shabazz lingo and the language that we use to denote certain grade levels, explain what Didisi is.
Well, I had the first class of Didisis, and it was two-year-olds, and that's an African word. You know, I'm not sure exactly what Didisi means, but I had the first class of two-year-olds in their history, and I went to Third World Press to get some books published, and they found out that I was certified in Montessori education, and they had always wanted to have someone to teach young children. And Haki and Savisha Madhubuti, the creators of the Institute of Positive Education, they had a two-year-old, Akili. So I was his first teacher. So it was African-centered, an African-centered curriculum with a vegetarian diet. I learned how to be a vegetarian there. Boy, I learned to be the person I am, African-centered, from Haki and Safisha Madhubuti. But
yeah.
When I see a crying child, I carry Blue Nile, and I wear Blue Nile. And if they're crying and you go up to them, whatever color they are, little white children, it works on everybody, you just go over and you put it under their nostrils real quick.
Mm.
And they cannot sniff and cry at the same time. They
wow.
cannot cry and sniff. It is impossible. So
wow.
when they choose to smell pretty instead of cry ugly.
Well, Mama, you have so many innovative methods. And for those who are not in Chicago, Haki Madhubuti and Safisha Madhubuti, they founded the Institute of Positive Education. They're the owners of Third World Press. And everybody knows Haki Madhubuti. If you're old enough, you remember him as Don Lee, the poet. You're real old, like 60 plus. But they founded an institution based on African principles, and a lot of the terms are from the Swahili language and a few other African languages, Chui, you know, spoken in Ghana and so forth. And the grade levels were African words in an African language that denoted the level of development of a child at that age. I don't remember all of the names now from you know, preschool through eighth grade, actually, but each of them had a name. And I do remember the eighth grade was the Nkrumah class. And so, you know, each name had significance in terms of African history and the values, the level of development of the child in each grade level. And Mama D had the preschool class, which was called the Didisi class. And you're talking about two-year-olds that are just learning language. So as you can hear, she's got some really innovative ways of helping two-year-olds to deal with their emotions. And I love the thing with the smell, because like you said, you can't cry and smell at the same time. But also the thing with the doll, the Didisi doll, baby Didisi, the soft doll, where they could express their what they needed to the doll, because psychologists use that all the time when they're trying to get a child to explain how they've been violated sexually. Oh, show us, and they'll do it on the doll. So dolls are very significant, and we need to know that for a child, a doll is like an alter ego. Through this doll, I'm expressing what I'm feeling. So that was brilliant, Mama D. And Koofy mentioned when he ran away from home, he had a doll figure, a mannequin, you know, a person really representing himself, you know. This is what we need to pay attention to. And Eric, when he talked about earlier the house that his daughter built out of a box and, you know, what it represented, probably, you know, this is the house I want, this is what I'd like to live in one day. And then for somebody to destroy it, you know, it hurt her so badly. And I'm glad that he had the sensitivity to know that this box represented something valuable to her. And so she needed to have been heard. So, you know, Mama D, you're just amazing, and I'm so glad that people are listening today to how you dealt with that.
I'd like to share my own special experience, because having five brothers and being the youngest of five sisters, I was never spanked. I was a big girl. I knew exactly what to do. My sister had ribbons in their hair to match their socks. I had ribbons in my hair to match my socks. And I was always a big girl. Never been spanked. And when my mother name calls me, the first time, I refused to give up my seat on the front of the bus. And because my younger brother, he had this fungus on his lungs, and he didn't talk until he was 4 years old because he didn't have enough air quality to form words. So we practically lived on the bus three and four times a week. We had to go to the hospital in Little Rock, and I was just accustomed to riding on the bus. So I hopped up on the bus one day, and I got a window seat, and I was looking out the window, and I was 5 years old, and I was told to go to the back, and I didn't want to go to the back. I wanted to look out the window. I wanted to look out the window, and I carried on so until the bus driver let me look out the window and sit on the front of the bus, and I had a great time seeing the animals and everything, and it was a wonderful ride until I got home. And then my mother called me, that little heifer said her little back. In on the front of that bus, and I was mortified. I didn't know what heifer meant, but I knew it wasn't something good, and it was, and I hadn't done anything bad, and they were talking about it, and every time somebody came in, they would talk about how I sat on the front of the bus and how one day we would sit on the front of the bus. And it was a big thing to the adults, but I was mortified. I hid under the great big kitchen table. And I started to say, I didn't do anything bad, so my mother was bad. And my sister that was 18 years old, she became my mother, and my mother became my grandmother. I didn't tell her about my menstrual cycle. I didn't tell her about anything.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I was about 25 years old and attending Columbia College, and our instructor in the writing class, he said, close your eyes and go back in time to your first experience of something happening to you. And it was just like a flashback. It was sitting on the front of the bus, and all of a sudden, I realized what segregation had robbed me of a rightful relationship with my mother. Of course, we became best friends. We had a special kind of relationship when I realized that she was acting out of a sense of fear. She had not taught me my place, and we were both in danger with me sitting on that front of the bus and doing that violation of the law. So that is why I guess I fight for fairness and civil rights and human rights and all that kind of, especially the rights of the child, because I lived through those childhood experiences. And I remember when my daughter, in conclusion, I remember when my daughter was, she was about 10 years old, and she went to Texas with my mother. Her aunt straightened her hair, and she had never had nice, curly, wavy hair. And Dick Gregory told me that your daughter is the prettiest little girl I've ever seen in my life. And Dr. Fortuna always reminded me of that. Well, Dick Gregory said that your daughter was the prettiest little girl he had ever seen in his life. But anyway.
Wow. Those things stick with you for life, don't they? Wow.
Oh, they do, because Dr. Fortuna never let me forget that. She prepared Dick Gregory to walk from Washington Park to Washington, D.C. And he was a great big heavy set man, and she had caused him to lose weight and all of that. So, but wow. What happened was that when I realized the right of a child, my daughter, anyway, she was horrified that my aunt straightened her hair, and it was just a hurting thing that you could never get back. But she told me something. I asked her, was she minding her grandma? And she said, no. Oh, no. And before I could say why, she said, Mama, I told my own self what to do. And that changed my life. That changed my life. I went back to my 2-year-old class and I said, you need to give your hand some orders. You tell your hands to stop that. You tell your feet to stop kicking that debt. So I never, ever told them that never, it was in there, they were responsible.
Self-control.
You know, tell your own self what to do.
Yes.
That's
what discipline is, teaching yourself what to do. I told my own self what to do. I love that. Oh, Mama D, you're just a treasure. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. Well, we're teaching today, you all. I hope you're taking notes. This is how you respond to your children so that they can understand how to be self-managed, and you have to listen to them. And Mama D, I'm sending you a hug for that experience on the bus. That was so painful. That was a trauma, but you know.
But I didn't
understand that your mother was acting out of her fear. Yes.
But thank you. We all need a baby daddy.
Yes, we do.
So thank you
so much. I think we got time to take another caller before the break. Thank you so much, Mama D. Wow, you know. And we got to understand that, people. A lot of this beating culture, and we've said this before. It comes out of slave culture. This whole beat your children thing. We would beat our children because we knew if they got whipped by the plantation owner or one of the overseers, they could be beat to death. So our job was to teach them their place, teach them to behave so that they would not get a beating from others who could kill them. That's where that came from in the African-American culture. Now, there are people in other countries that beat their children too. So, we can't just blame slavery because everybody's had some level of brutality that has come into their culture. But we have to unlearn this, and we have to learn the other ways of relating to children and teaching them that don't involve verbal or physical abuse. We have to learn them because otherwise we're going to get what we've got. Children who now can take their frustration and their rage and pick up a weapon of war and kill. We need to be emotionally available for our children. Let's take that next caller. 773-530. Your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments, please.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes. Okay. I just want to give thanks to the Most High, for having you, Sister Naima Latif, and Sherelle and the whole team. I also want to give a shout-out to Minister Robert Floyd Plump, providing this jewel of a broadcast. It has been truly, for the last 2 days, including me, it has truly been a blessing and a jewel. I'm AMGP God, located here in Jamaica, province of Illinois. Shout out as well to Eric Hopkins, providing that beautiful insight. I'm a co-partner with Causely, which is a Chicagoland organization sent by God to lead the youth, which is also founded by Brother Eric, the leading war director. Yeah, I mean, so shout out to Brother Eric once again. As well as the Hale Washington Foundation, once again located here in Chicago, probably Illinois, the Chicago Hale Washington Foundation for making me recently an executive board director. Yeah, I mean, so we're planning a Father's Day event June 18th for all the fathers out there. Yeah, I mean, we're providing an event for Father's Day, that's June 18th. It's the Peace Parade Caravan. So with the Moldy Peace on this day, yeah, I mean, for the fathers. So we're not marching this year, sister. I mean, we're riding the caravan. So we're asking all those that look to participate by a $23 donation. Yeah, I mean, and that's for, once again, your caravan. So, yeah, I mean, you always the march in the parade. Yeah, I mean, your $23 donation be towards your caravan. So once again, that's the Peace Parade Caravan on June 18, 2003 here in the Fossil, Illinois. I mean, all those that look to get in contact, you get in contact with myself, once again, AMG Peace God, Apostle Minister General Peace God at 773-530-4254. Once again, I would like to give insight on, you know, shouts out to the people that provided their experiences. Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot, and also I reflected on a lot. Yeah, I mean, childhood.
Let me ask you this. Do you have children?
Yes, I do. I'm recently a new father who has been blessed, you know what I mean, to home deliver all of my children myself. So,
wow.
To my parents or whatnot. I mean, that's what I wanted to give feedback on. Hearing everybody's experience, it had me to reflect that, you know, I thank God for my shoes that I was raised in, my pot, my vase or whatnot that I was brought up in, because, you know, we like plants, like you said, like the brother said, with seeds, that's my seed. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, like plants, like everything in nature, I heard about everybody's experience, and I'm like, wow. So I thank God that, you know, my parents, I was adopted, but I was also brought up by guardians. I mean, the people that God blessed me, the home that God blessed me into. I mean, shout out to my mother, my guardian, rest in peace, rest in power. Her name is Doreen Emma Pugh. I mean, she raised a lot of people here in Chicago back in the day around the Robert Taylor areas. Yeah, I mean, she was a teacher. Yeah, you know I mean, she raised a lot of youth. Yeah, you know I mean, that, you know I mean, probably in the early 40s. Yeah, you know I mean, late 30s, late 40s probably. You know what I mean, you know I mean, she did it all. She raised four beautiful men to this day, including myself, and I thank God for that. You know, it wasn't I didn't consider it a perfect household. You know, I mean, none of our dysfunctional family as a whole. You know, I mean, is not perfect. So, you know, the shout out to the parents that did have fallen ways, because a lot of people didn't even have single mothers. A lot of people didn't even have, you know, I mean, fathers or whatnot. So, I mean, in my experience, I had a mother and a father. So, you know, I mean, shout out to the balance, because I heard everybody's experience, and it's like, wow, you know, it's leaning over into, you know, like you said, the beaten culture, the abused culture, you know, I mean, or whatnot. You know, I mean, thank God, my mother, she provided balance. You know, I mean, and you know, I mean, I want to give a insight, you know, I mean, on that. You know, I mean, my parents, and I like to reflect, you know, I mean, the father. I respect the Father, the Most High. So, yeah, I mean, although I wasn't brought up in the church, later on, my mother, she planted that seed, you know what I mean? And due to the balance of the discipline that she provided, she was like, sort of what Brother Eric described. She was a disciplinarian. She also was a teacher, and she leaned towards having those open discussions. You know what I mean, with her son. You know what I mean, I learned a lot from the family time of her taking the time out to allowing us to express ourselves and bring out dictionaries and look up words and, you know what I mean, right in front of her, you know what I mean, while she's standing with the belt or whatnot. You know what I mean, she'd be having a whole conversation with you and, you know what I mean, dialoguing with you and allowing you to get that feedback in. So, you know what I mean, shout out to the mother side of the situation that, like you said, children are to be loved, children are to be cherished, they are to, you know, let it be known that they are to be heard. You know what I mean, but shout out to my father. Once again, my father, you know what I mean, not leaning over into Joe Jackson, you know what I mean, but shout out to Joe, you know what I mean, in the sense of he whooped all his kids to success, you know what I mean. Although my father wasn't a Joe Jackson, you know what I mean, he was concerned, you know what I mean, militant disciplinarian, the true disciplinarian, who provided the balance of expectations. You know what I mean? And I believe it is important for us as parents to plant our seeds and let them know, you know what I mean, what we expect, you know what I mean, and what the father expects, you know what I mean, of us as parents and what we expect of the children. I believe that's a thin line that needs to be defined, you know what I mean, as far as, you know, guidelines, you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean, it says, you know, to raise our children up in a way that they should go, you know what I mean? So, each seed has a direction that is aiming to grow. You know what I mean? Without that guideline and that solidarity and clarity on that guideline, you know what I mean? You see the lawlessness and unstructuralism that we got in the world today, the lawlessness. You know what I mean? No structure or whatnot. You see that today. You know what I mean? It's no administrative you know, head on the body. I mean, so the body is left to run rapping wild, you know.
Yeah, and you know, that's what people are struggling with. How do you bring order back to the disorder? And what role do fathers play in these homes? Because even as harsh as these mothers have been, and they're, you know, trying to instill discipline, we still have what we have. And it is the effect of the absence of fathers and the mothers then having to overreact because they don't have that balance, that partnership, and then the harsh way they instill fear, basically. It becomes abuse, but that's all they believe that they have because they don't have that partner to kind of enforce some level of self-management. So this is what we have to develop a culture of loving our children into shape, as Mama D says, and not whipping them into shape. But that means learning methods of correcting behavior that doesn't involve destroying the spirit of the child. That's what we have to learn. So we thank you so much, my dear brother, AMG Peace God of Chicago. We appreciate you so much for sharing your story. And we're going to take a break and come back, and we'll take our next caller at 312-833. Thanks so much for your patience. We want to hear your story as well, and we'll be right back after this quick break, and we'll share some more comments from our Facebook and YouTube viewers and listeners, and we appreciate you all so much. We'll be right back after this last break. So again, we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this last break. So of course, we want you to stay with us.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green on this Thursday as she handles a medical emergency. And we've been talking about, are you emotionally available for your children? Well, we invite you all to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. We've got a couple of calls online I'm going to get to. And very shortly we'll be launching our Parenting with Peace class on our New Earth Homeschool Academy online, which is an online academy designed to raise the next generation differently with classes and courses to empower them. And our first class we're launching is the Parenting with Peace class. And much of the wisdom that you heard today will be shared. And we're going to help parents get the skills they need to teach children how to be self-managed and to raise them with love and not fear. There are methods that we need to learn, and we need to unlearn that method of beating them, because all that does is create repressed anger that somewhere in their life explodes. So let's take our next caller. And we want you to answer the question, are you emotionally available for your children? And think about what you experienced. Did your parents listen to you when you cried, or did they punish you for showing your emotions? Before we take our call, let me just share a thought from one of our Facebook and YouTube viewers, Mama Joy, Joy from our second Saturday host. Mama Joy says, Naima, I came to an awakening this morning that we have been raised under law, not love. Ooh, yes. We were processed and taking control of people under a law. Even in marriage, we have sister-in-law, brother-in-law, mother-in-law, etc. We have to be willing to be reborn in love because the law by itself cannot stand. The divine is love and order, and love orders law. Yes! St. Thomas Aquinas and American prophet Dr. Martin Luther King agrees, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal law. And oh, there's some more. Let's see. We may not be able to pull all of it up on there, but yes. Yes. That is exactly right. There was somebody, I'm trying to remember who it was, but she would refer to her relatives as my mother-in-love, my sister-in-love, which I loved that because that's really what it should be. Not in law, but in love. Because even if there's a breaking up of the marriage, your in-laws should still be in love. You should still have that connection. Thank you so much, Mama Joy. Listen to her this coming Saturday on the Female Solution, 12 to 2 p.m. And thank you to all my sisters of the microphone who have chimed in and either called in. Thank you, Mama D, our fourth Saturday host, and thank you, Zelda, our Monday morning mindfulness host, and thank you, Viata, our Friday health and well-being host. I thank you, my team of sisters who share their wisdom, because that's how we're going to change the world. We have to change the way we think and feel and act, because we change what we understand. Let me take our caller at 312-833. Thank you so much for your patience. You've been with us the whole show. Thank you for waiting. Give us your name and where you're calling from and your comments.
We are in Yah Shalom. That means we are one in God.
I love that.
As-salamu alaykum. Yes, I got that from Mama D. Love, but I'm so glad that I introduced her.
We have to change the world.
To the Female Solution, to change the world. This is your brother, Minister Robert Floyd Plump. Yes, I am. I am thankful. I am fantastically blessed and all about success breeds success for the Female Solution, because you all have made a difference in my life, and you've made a difference in the world as well as the whole universe. And,
absolutely.
You know, I'd like to reflect on, you know, Dr. King for just a moment. We must really listen, and listening is the key to success. The language, get the language right, you know, and we have to start with what something Mama D, I got from her and being on her TV show. And this Female Solution is really the world's greatest blog radio TV station I ever heard in my whole life. So I'm just thankful that we can share success breeds success, because information is a key to success. And for all of the brothers and the sisters, I call it Team 23, you know, which is together everyone achieves more, together everyone achieves much, together everyone achieves money, together everyone achieves millions, together everyone achieves miracles. And, you know, everybody got a miracle in them. Everybody that's listening to this radio blog radio station program is got a song in them. Everybody got a heartbeat. Everybody got a book in them. And I want to meet them, because we're going to have our leadership meeting today, and it takes a village to raise one child, and no one can raise a kid. We got to get out of that, Sister Naima. We got to stop these raising our
mama
children.
Goat.
That's right, you know, because you educated, and Mama D educated me. And I'm so happy, you know, that trouble don't last always. And yet Chicago, America, and the world is in trouble because we're doing the wrong thing. We still beat Brandon, our children. We're still beating our children. We have to stop doing that. You know, my grandparents, Neil, raised me, and they taught me I was a dutiful boy, and I'm still a dutiful boy, and I'm Mayor Washington's boy. And we're getting ready for Father's Day coming up on June 18th. I'm bringing all of the men, the brothers and the hearts of the children, men, women, and children back to the Father. So I'm like everybody's daddy at this point. I'm going to leave the Father being the Heavenly Father, God himself, is going to have to step in and intervene with our problem. Our problem is violence, robbing, stealing, and killing, and looting. That's why we got to have this atonement meeting. Eric, oh, wow, healing is a 23. And this whole program is a 23 station, the 23 program, like Oprah Winfrey and Michael Jordan. So how can he be, Michael Jordan, be the only 23 because he made it popular when Chicago equals to 23? And then think about the greatest pop musical personality, Michael Jackson. How can we forget Mike? Mike was born 1958. So don't be late today at 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We'll be at the village, Lake Grove Village, from 2 to 4 at 3515 South Cottage Grove. For more information, they can call Brother Plump. To get in the building, you got to call me at 312-833-0475. And that's the way,
we
get rid of this guy. You know we love you. Keep up the good work. You are fantastic. Hallelujah.
And you do likewise. Keep up the great work. We appreciate all that you do in organizing men. That is so critical. Thank you so very much. So, well, you heard, if you're in and around the Chicagoland area, then you can join them. We really want our men to begin to transform the society we live in. Let me take our next caller.
All righty. There we go. All right. Let me go. Switch here. Okay. And let's go to area code. Whoops. Just going to let you go. All righty. Let's go to area code 06202. Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Assalamu alaikum and Grand Rising to the Female Solution family. This is Brother Kwame, and I'm in your state of Illinois. And I'm sitting here in my mom's garage and, you know, enjoying the show. Great to hear, you know, this type of topic, because we are a village, and it takes a whole village to raise a child and to guide that child in the direction that it has come onto the planet to have its purpose. Because a child in the African tradition, when they do a naming ceremony, they take a glass of water and a glass of palm wine or gin. And what they will do before the whole village is they sit that child and they will put their finger into the water and put it in the mouth of the child and it'll suckle. And then they take their finger and they put it into the gin and they put it in and put it in the child and the child cries. And it's showing that this child before you, the whole village, knows right and wrong. It is our charge as the village to make sure it does not forget. And tools in which we have to understand that when we give a name to a child and we bring him before the whole village and see that the child knows right and wrong, it's born into it. It's born to know love, and it's born to know the difference in something that is not correct in love. And so we have to take charge as the parents, and that's the key word is pair, because it does not, a single mother can't be pregnant by herself. It has to be a pair. It has to be a father and a mother. And so in that part of we redefining how we became colonized, we have to understand that we have to be decolonized. And it's in the language that we use and how we raise and give information to that child. Yes, it has its purpose. It has its purpose when it was in the womb. And that child in the womb has a purpose already given to it when it's developing, that it will be a parent. It will be a mother or a father while it's inside of the mother's womb. So when that mother's carrying that child, she's carrying that child and a generation to come. So it's very important how we give to that child when it comes onto the earth. Give it the information to help it, the tools to help it build its purpose. It comes in love. It has a purpose. And what we as the whole village are to give it the tools, because when we say educate, the word is a Latin word, mean inducere. It means to bring out. Each one of us came onto this planet with a purpose, and how it was brought out through environment, through love, or through trauma, one or the other, environment, love, or trauma, because environment and trauma creates an addict. Environment and love creates a better human being. And so how we began to see how we did this, because today we have not what we used to have was grandmother's lap time. You had that lap time with grandmother or grandfather, male or female. And when you had that lap time, you were given the tools in order to show the direction and see what is in that child. Because there's creativity and there's things in that child when it's developed, why it comes onto the planet. The Creator makes no mistakes in sending each one of us here. And we choose two people to come through, and we choose lessons that we are here to develop and to share with the world. And so it's important. I think you're developing a right way in which you're creating this program. But we've got to be mindful that the elders have a purpose, because elders only have one other purpose, and that's to become an ancestor. And we have a whole lot of unemployed ancestors because we don't recall them. We recall certain ones, but there are many that are in our family tree that we have to see how we can call that energy. Because once upon a time, grandma would walk in and look at the baby and say, Uncle Joe's hands, that's Aunt Sally's foot. Because they know there's a return for those ancestors. Yeah. So we have to understand our way. And I commend, you know, all of the ones who have spoken, because that was their purpose. They've spoken what is in their heart on this earth, because it's all one word. Because in the word earth is the word heart, is the word here, is the word ear, is the word heart. And we have to begin to know how to acknowledge the art of living and hear what the Creator tells you with that one ear in your heart, how to be and become. That's what you are, is a human being to become, the reflection of the Creator. All right, and that's all. Thank you, Naima.
I thank you so much, Baba Kwame. As always, we appreciate your wisdom, and you have definitely been a source of light, as always, and all of our callers, all of our listeners, all of those who commented on our Facebook and YouTube page, and, of course, all of you who shared your story, this is a teaching opportunity, and that's what we provide every day on this morning think tank. But our goal is to create the solutions, and of course, we all do it collectively. So very soon, we're launching our Parenting with Peace class, and our team of hosts are part of that process and sharing their wisdom. We're going everywhere from, we're starting at pre-birth, the process even of evaluating yourself before you even choose that life partner, choose that partner that you're going to co-create with, choosing that person that you're going to join together as one with and be the doorway for a soul to enter into this earth environment, into this earth school. You first got to heal yourself to prepare yourself to be emotionally healthy, because the vibration that you carry is the vibration you will attract from the soul that's coming through you. And if you're troubled, if you're angry, you're going to attract a soul that is matching that vibration. So we're going to take you all the way from pre-birth to the conception and the kind of spirit you need to have, both mother and father, both the seed planter and the seed carrier, what you need to infuse in that child during their process where the soul is going in and out of the mother's body as the physical vessel is being formed. And we're going to guide you through that process with the understanding that this is a soul that has chosen to come through you for a special life experience. You must prepare yourself to be the guide that they need for this life experience. And then we're going to take you from birth to age 18, each step of the way, and how you, in fact, raise them and guide them with love so that they can become the best version of themselves, because that's why they came here. So look out for Parenting with Peace. It'll be on the Teachable platform online on our online school, the New Earth Homeschool Academy. And this is a tool we're using to help change the world from the way it is to the way it should be. I'm Naima Latif. Join us tomorrow as we are once again hearing from our wonderful sister, Viata, and health and well-being. So join us 7 a.m. Central. Of course, wherever you are in the world, join us live or listen in the archives and gain the wisdom from the Female Solution. Thank you all for joining us today, and until tomorrow, continue to shine your light. And let us greet our global family and thank you.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India, Zanyabat, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kujung,
France. Merci. Spain. Gracias. Italy. Grazie. Egypt. Shukran. Ghana. Merci. Nigeria. Eshe. South Africa. Ngiyabonga. Senegal. Jerez. Kenya. Asante. Israel. Toda. Pakistan. Shukriya. Afghanistan. Tashakur. Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
And join us tomorrow for a special guest who will share his journey to heal prostate cancer on Health and Well-Being with Beata, right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.